Been in the series that are five essentials for spiritual progress. You know, as we look at Paul's prayer, he wants us to grow. We should not just sit back and soak and sour. No, he wants us to progress spiritually in our lives. Last time we were together, we looked at abounding love. Today we're going to look at spiritual discernment, and you have the listing of the other things that we're going to look at. But, you know, as we looked at abounding love in the last message, we discovered that there can be no spiritual growth without agape love. You know, people are told that they are to overflow, that they are to abound in agape love as born-again believers. What the situation is and what the problem is that too many believers are living and walking after the flesh. You can't abound in spiritual love if you're walking after the flesh. It's available to you by the Holy Spirit, but if you're living a carnal Christian life and not committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't have the kind of love that you need to have. If a believer is walking in the flesh, he or she is going to have the mindset of the flesh. The carnal believer, his interest is in what he wants, in what she wants, walking after the world and not walking after the things of God. But if we walk in the Spirit, that's by the control of the Holy Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the desires of the flesh. John 14:15 says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." My point is this: true godliness necessarily begins with loving the Lord, the agape love of the Lord. One preacher put it this way: obedience motivated by love for God not only becomes the believer's supreme objective, but also the supreme pleasure and satisfaction of believers. Now today, it's a whole different focus. It builds on love, but the second one is spiritual discernment. We look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 10, the first part of the verse. It says, "That ye may approve things that are excellent." Now, that is discernment. What is discernment? Well, I love my Webster's 1828 reprint dictionary. I think Tim has one and some other people have one, but it gives an excellent, excellent definition of what discernment is. So I'm going to read it from the 1828 Noah Webster Dictionary. Discernment is the act of discerning. Now, don't be put off by that. Goes on to explain it. Also, the power or faculty of the mind by which it distinguishes one thing from another, such as truth from falsehood, virtue from vice, acuteness of judgment, power to perceive differences of things or ideas, and their relationships and tendencies. Well, just a reminder, spiritual discernment is built on love for the Lord Jesus Christ. When a person is dominated by the love for God, they'll have the desire to approve things that are excellent. They'll want to make the best choices in their life, the best choices that are available. Now, you've heard me talk about this before, but, you know, how do I get spiritual discernment out of verse 10? Well, that is the word approve there. It's dokimizin in the Greek, and it means to discern, to examine, to prove. Now, in the classical Greek, this was the process of assaying metal, particularly gold, to be able to test its purity and its properties. Now, also, it was used to examine money. Now, it's not so much anymore because they have machines that do that. If I were to pull a $50 bill out of my pocket or a $100 bill out of my pocket. Well, that would be amazing. But anyway, if I were to do that and take a bunch of them to the bank, as I did the other day, because I told you that my answer to prayer, the Norwegian Cruise Line refunded our money. And so I cashed the Norwegian check at one bank and then took in a big wad of $100 bills from the cruise. And in the old days, what they would have done, number one, they would have held it up to the light. They'd look for the seal that's on there. And then number two, they would have taken a pen and marked it. And if it turned black, they knew it's counterfeit. Now they have a machine that does all that stuff. So she put it in the machine. And one of the hundreds kicked out. I thought, uh-oh, am I in trouble or not? Well, no, it was one of the older ones. And so she looked at it and put it in the drawer, and that's all that is. But spiritually, it's testing to make sure that things are right, things are true, that you're not deceived. Now, the big problem today is that really discerning Christians are in short supply. But why is that? Well, the fact is that so many of them are affected by the world's philosophies and the world's opinions, and they are not, apprised thoroughly enough of the Scriptures. You might say that they're ignorant of the Scriptures. And so that causes a real big problem. And then you have... Well, you have believers that really are discerning, that they know the Word of God, and not only do they know the Word of God, but they apply the Word of God to their actual life situations. And then you know what happens to them? The people who are not Christians and the people who are carnal Christians will often be very critical of discerning Christians, and you know what they'll call them? Oh, they're narrow, they're Puritans, oh, they're Pharisees. And you know, that's a great tragedy, but you know what that does? You know why they're doing that? I'll tell you the reason why they're doing that. Then it takes the heat off of them. Because when your light shines darkly and somebody's living in sin, we know that sinners love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And they don't like anybody who is going to expose their wrong behavior. They don't like anybody who is going to expose their sins. And they go into this mode of accusations for others, or they go into the mode of rationalization. I'll tell you what, that's so common today because there's too few Christians that are discerning. There's so many Christians who are permissive, they're carnal, they compromise, and they're biased. And what they'll do is say, "You're an intolerant bigot." You know, I just want to tell you this. What's right, according to the Scripture, is right. What's wrong, according to the Scripture, is wrong. And what's sin is sin. Right is right, and wrong, and wrong is sin. And so, regardless of what they try and call you, they just want to get the heat off of them, and so that they can justify continuing to live their loose lives or continue to live their licentious lives. And what a great tragedy that is, because we're all going to give account of ourselves before God for what we've done, for what we've lived, and if you can think of it, every idle word. Now, that's a little scary. And you say, well, I don't believe that. I don't care. This is what the book says, and I believe this book. And I believe that you're going to see exactly what the book says is going to come to pass. I mean, look at all the prophecies that have been fulfilled according to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm kind of sitting on the edge of my seat to see whether we see developing the Battle of Gog and Magog. I've talked about that in the Sunday school class this morning. And if I see a few more nations come in to join this, then man, oh man, I'm telling you, I am listening for the trumpet. I'm listening for the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And then the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together. Amen. And then I'll tell you what, those who are left behind are going to be looking around. I wonder if the rapture came this morning, how many people would be still sitting here in their seat? Now, I don't give a rip whether you're a Baptist or not. Don't care. I'm glad that you're attending First Baptist Church. I'm glad you're a member at First Baptist Church. But it is all what you do with Jesus. Amen. That's it. That's it. And there's a lot of people who are sitting on the fence there about Jesus. Just kind of sitting there on the fence. And they say, well, I don't want to have what happened to the pastor. Because when the pastor started living for the Lord Jesus Christ, some of them said, well, he's one of those fundamentalists. You know what that is a fundamentalist. You know what? All that meant was, I hadn't been living like I ought to. I'd been living a carnal Christian life, and I got sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they noticed a change in my life that should have been there previously but wasn't there. But I'm thankful that there's a God of another chance. And when I started living for the Lord Jesus Christ, some of my friends said, you're not any fun anymore. Well, I'll tell you what. A couple of those friends are dead now. And I tried to witness to them for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as far as I know, they didn't make decisions for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I feel sad because I tried, but the blood is off of my head. But I am telling you what God says in His Word is true, and we need to be discerning, and regardless of what people say. Remember, they said of Jesus, you know, if they persecuted me, they're going to be they'll persecute you. If they accepted your word, they'll accept my word. I'm thankful for the people that I've been able to witness to, and they've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. I've given out a bunch of tracts just recently again, and I'm praying that God will use the Holy Spirit to convict their souls, because behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You do not know when you're going to take your last breath. You just don't. How many of you remember Ed? Ed got sick and COVID, and he's in the hospital. I went to see him, and then he had some complications. And Ed was a fine believer. It was a fine believer, but I was expecting things to work out fine. And the next thing I know, he was dead. But the thing about Ed was he knew Christ. So the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But Ed was younger than me. He was active in this church, active in a number of things. But what I'm saying is nobody here, not me, not you, not anybody, has a mortgage on tomorrow. I've had to spend quite a bit of time at home with my wife as she recuperates to be able to help her get up and do those things. But one of the things I've enjoyed on YouTube is watching the old series of Sky King. Any of you ever remember old enough to remember Sky King and the Songbird? Yeah. I got looking into his background, and after he was done doing that series, he was on his way. He was invited as a special guest to watch a NASA space launch. And he was my age, and on his way, he got in a car wreck, and he died. I'm 72. I'm thankful the Lord has spared my life. He spared my life several times. But I don't have a mortgage on tomorrow. In fact, I'm living on borrowed time. The Bible says 70 years, and if by reason of strength, 80. So I'm working in the middle of there, and I often praise God for the next day to be able to continue keeping on, because I got family I love. I've got children. I've got grandchildren. I've got great grandchildren. And you know what? I want them to have a country that still is going to be able to be free and the gospel can be preached. And so it requires me as your spiritual under shepherd to try and be discerning and share with you the truth and not water it down. The fact of the matter is there is a clear general call to be discerning. We look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. It says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Guess what? The word prove there is the same Greek root word as we see in Philippians chapter 1. And in verse 10, as we look at that, it says that we may approve all things. Same Greek word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10 and 11 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Do you know, I've used it before. I didn't like it because it became so mundane, but now it is a past fad, but it's still true. We need to ask ourselves the question, what would Jesus do? Now, I didn't like all the bracelets and all the things, WWJD, because there's a lot of people, and then they mocked it too, and I don't remember how they mocked it. But the fact is, it says we are to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Why? Because we're going to be accountable to him. I like this part in verse 11. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, rebuke them. That's the word that means expose. Expose them for what they are and what they do to people. Proving is the same word. It is an absolute necessity that believers be spiritually discerning. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, and this is important, believe not every spirit. What does that mean? Oh, there's all kinds of spirit. There's all kinds of philosophies. The biggest one going around today is humanism, and that's man is the measure of all things. And there's not only humanism, but there's relativism, that I can make my own choices. I can be God. We talked about that in Sunday school. I'm not accountable to anybody. I can do what I want. And then, of course, there's evolution. There's evolution that leaves God out. And then there's a big rise in Machiavellianism today. If you study Machiavellianism, you can lie, you can cheat, you can steal to promote your own ends. And we're seeing that in the progressive movement today. We look at how much has happened in relationship to the lying that's gone on relating to this COVID situation. What a mess! You know why? Because they have the spirit of the Antichrist, not the Antichrist and Antichrist. They have an Antichrist spirit, and they allow signs and lying wonders. They lie, they lie, they lie, they lie. And then there's people who buy it. And so it's very clear here from the scripture. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit. Don't believe those philosophies. Test it out. But try the spirits. Hey, the word try, guess what? Same Greek word root. Try the spirits. Here it is. Whether they are of God. Why? Here's why. Because many false prophets are gone into the world. Getting little kids who have such a low rate of COVID. Some of them have had to wear masks to school for 2 years, and they have been set back so often because part of communication has to do with facial expressions. So much, it has hurt these young kids so much, and it's put fear in the hearts of so many people. And I still see people, I cannot believe it, they're alone in their car and they're wearing two masks. I just want to give them a pick and save bag and say, put a rubber band around there and then you're safe. But you see, the Spirit. You know, if the devil can keep you in fear, but not only the fear thing, then there's so many people who have the pride thing. Some people are resisting coming to the Lord Jesus Christ because of their pride. That's a great tragedy. You know, spiritual discernment is not to be based on our opinions. That isn't what tells us what's right and wrong. It's really not to be based on our emotions, even our attitudes. It's not to be based upon our impulses. But the Bible is to be the basis of our discernment. Why? John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. It's not a lie. I can build my life on this. And I have built my life on this in large degree. And I'm not sad. God has blessed me, and he'll bless you. If you know it, quote it with me, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like, as Brian just said, the chaff that the wind driveth away. I like every other year on one of the bicycle routes that I take, lots of wonderful bicycle routes around here, they grow wheat every other year, corn one year, wheat the other year. And as it's getting to be white, as it's beginning to get ripe, if it's been winter wheat, it's pretty early and pretty nice, I'll stop by the edge and I'll get a couple of the wheat heads, and you know what I'll do? I'll go like this, and then open my hands like this and go, and you know what? The husk, the chaff, is just gone, and that reminds me that the ungodly, nothing lasting, like the chaff that the wind driveth away. Years ago, when that lady down there, raise your hand, Marilyn, was my secretary, I still have it, she bought me a little saying that's up there, only one life 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. You know what happens to the rest? Wood, hay, and stubble, they're burned up. They're gone. They're no good. Be discerning. The Bible is truth. Therefore, if it does not conform to the Bible, then you are dealing with error. What does it say about sexual morality? I know what the world says today, and I know how the chaff is getting blown away from people who follow that worldly morality. But God bless you who are married, because the marriage bed is undefiled. Jesus said, it is written. And it was. Deuteronomy, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. Boy, the loaf I got from Beverly last week, was it good. Different kinds. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know what we're supposed to do? People don't like this. Particularly if they're living carnal Christian lives. People don't like this. But Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said, we're to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Sometimes I'm not very effective in doing that, just to be real honest with you. And then sometimes the Holy Spirit, you know what he does? Bam! Hey! Don't let your mind go there. I was talking with a friend not long ago, and man, oh man, my mind went to a place it shouldn't have gone, and my cheeks got red, and the Holy Spirit just nudged me. You shouldn't go there. Why? We're to be discerning and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It's a constant battle for me because I still got an old nature. If you're a believer, you still got an old nature, but that doesn't let us off the hook. If we're going to be walking and being like the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, there's some places our mind should not go. Would you agree? Certainly. Bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Well, that's a tall order. But that helps us to be the kind of discerning that we should be. You know, very clearly, Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Hide his word in our hearts. What is that? That's not this thing that's beating here. That's this thing that's thinking here. So that we recognize sin for what it is. And you know, let me just clarify this for you. There's sometimes that things hit us right in the face. And being confronted with something that hits you right in the face that's sinful, it is not sin when you can't avoid it. It hits you right in the face. It comes on the television. It comes something you're listening to. But you got to make sure you don't treat it like a Tootsie Roll pop. Now, I keep some Tootsie Roll pops in my desk. You say, why? Because if my sugar crashes and it's low, you know what I do? I pull out one of those Tootsie Roll Pops and pop it in my mouth. But so let's just say that I'm confronted, as I was watching supposed to be a good movie on the Hallmark Channel with my wife, and the commercial comes on and there's a half-dressed lady there. Now, there's nothing I could do about it except turn my eyes, but it becomes sin when you treat that like a Tootsie Roll pop and start sucking on it. You start rolling it over in your mind. You start undressing her in your mind. That's where it becomes sin, right there. You come up this and you can't do anything when somebody takes and curses in front of you. But you can, number one, not become involved in it. You can get away, or you can say, you know, I don't like to listen to that kind of stuff, and walk away. But when you're confronted with those things, the exposure is not the sin. It is rolling it over in your mind where it becomes the sin. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We're to hide God's word in our heart because it helps us to define sin. And the Bible gives us directions so that we can make the right choices. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It shows us which way we should go. We need to steer around this because if you go this way, that is the way to sin. So you got to steer around that. You all know what is the sin that easiest besets you. Hebrews talks, you all know what it is. Some of you, it's a language deal. Some of you, it's a thought deal. Some of you, it's other things. But you know, when you're coming into a situation where the sin that doth so easily beset you, pass not by it. Go away. Go around. Stay away. I don't think he's going to be mad at me, but I know a man who's sitting in this auditorium. When I first knew him, I'm just going to say it, he was a drunk. But now, 30-some years, you know what? He steered around that now. He steered around that. And you know, that's good, because if you think, well, I'm all set, I'm going to take just one. Nope. That's the devil's hook. That's the devil's hook, friends. You know, knowing the commandments and the precepts and the principles of the Bible is a must if we are going to exercise spiritual discernment that the Philippians, that Paul is calling the Philippians to. You know, we live in a day, and we talked about it in Sunday school, we live in a day of moral relativism and ethical relativism. We must defend and live out moral, spiritual, doctrinal, philosophical, ethical, and practical mandates from God's Word. We must resist the pressures of Hollywood. We must resist political progressiveness. We must resist the liberal media. We must resist the perverts, the Madison Avenue acceptance of a life full of greed and sexual lust and immorality and perversion. You know what? They're devoid of spiritual ethics. In short, we must constantly exercise spiritual discernment. The specific spiritual discernment in focus here is the things that are excellent. We are to approve the things that are excellent. The Greek word excellent means superior. It means of greater value. It means essential. As I understand it, Paul is praying that the Philippian believers would not just make the basic choices between right and wrong, but they would make the hard choices between what is okay and what is best. If you're going to be truly effective in your Christian life, you need to be able to make the best choices in life. I ran across this, and it's worth saying. Charles Spurgeon said, discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong, but knowing the difference between right and almost right. Now think about that. Right and almost right. Now, I'm not a smoker, but how many of you have heard the phrase, well, that's close but no cigar? Okay. Yeah, that he's saying, you know, there's many, many Christians say, well, that's close enough. Romans chapter 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world. You know what that means? Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. I'm old enough to remember when Plato came out. Some of you remember when Plato came out? Yeah. And my grandmother used to make Play-Doh for us because Play-Doh was pretty expensive when it came out. But what we would do then with the Play-Doh that she made for us is she had little molds that she would use for cookies, but we would take the Play-Doh and put it in there and then squish it in and then pat it out, and then you have a confirmation of what the mold was. Our Lord is telling us, be not, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. You know, sometimes it's hard to tell a good Pharisee from a good Christian. But you hang around with them long enough and you'll see that actually it's a source of pride. And it's not real. It's not real. They're patting themselves on the back. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that's the word discern, that you may prove what is the good, that's morally upright, and acceptable, that's acceptable to God, and perfect, complete, total will of God. You know, I have a challenge in this area oft times because there's so many things. I never, and many of you are like this, I never get everything done that's on my list. Any of you like that to me? So I'm constantly having to make choices. And it's always better to move from the okay choice to choosing the best choice. Now, it's possible that this person would be listening, but nobody would know who he is. But I don't normally do this, but a person contacted me and said they needed a half an hour of my time, and they wanted my counsel. So I said, okay. And so we get on the telephone, and it's clear that this particular person had made a lot of bad choices in his life. And he was being critical of a number of churches, because I said, why are you calling me? Isn't there a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church in your area? Well, it's all filled with hypocrites. I told him just like I told you. I said, well, there was even a hypocrite in Jesus' band. His name was Judas. And I said, if you find the perfect church, don't join it because you'll wreck it. And we talked, and I said, well, I'm just going to have you stop. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Well, he hemmed and hawed around and said, I believe in Jesus, and I this, and I that, and I the other thing. I said, no, you personally, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This has to be a personal thing. I can't do it for you. But I have this problem. I have that problem. He dodged it. I tried it three different ways. And it's coming on 45 minutes, and it's time to give my wife meds. So I said, you know, I've told you, you need to get your salvation nailed down. I've told you to get into a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. I've told you to get in God's Word and study God's Word. And I said, I'm not sure that you're doing any of those things. And he went off on some other tangent. And he finally said, well, what are you going to do to solve my problem? That's what he asked me. What are you going to do to solve my problem? I said, sir, you've gone off in 97 different directions. I don't have a handle on exactly what your problem is. And a number of the solutions that I've offered you to try and get some help to work on your problem, you don't want to seem to follow. So I'm not going to be able to help you. You need to get things squared around with the Lord. You see, there's so many people. I don't even have anything here. Yeah, I do. There's so many people here and around the world. Who want to take a pill instantly spiritual. Instantly spiritual. You know, I could be a billionaire if I had instantly spiritual pills. But here's the issue. You have to work with God. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If you don't play according to the rules, if you keep doing like this guy, boy, this guy could dodge and weave. And there's so many people who are not discerning today. You know what they're doing? They're dodging and weaving. They don't want to face the issue. They're the problem. And our Lord Jesus Christ and his word is the solution. Amen. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father, no woman cometh unto the Father, but by me. When you do love God, you're going to make doing his will top priority. Then you'll choose the best choices. And as 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 and 10 says, you'll know the deep things of God. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.